So today we are reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter number 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tribhuvana.
Tribhuvana.
Kamanam.
Kamanam.
Tamala.
Tamala.
Varnam.
Varnam.
Ravikara. Gora, Varambaram, Dadhane, Vapu, Alukukura Avrita, Anana Abjam, Vijaya Sake, Aratiastu, Me, Anavadya. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Ravikara goravara ambarang dadane.
Ravikara goravara ambarang dadane.
This melody isn't so good. Let's find a different one. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Ravikara goravara ambaram dadane.
Ravikara goravara ambaram dadane.
Vapuralakka kulavritananabjam. Vijaya sake ratirastu made navadya. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam.
Ravikara goravara ambaram dadane. Vapuralakkulavritananabjam.
Vapuralakkulavritananabjam.
Vijaya sake ratirastu me navadya.
Vijaya sake ratirastu me navadya.
Tribhuvana.
Tribhuvana.
Three statuses of planetary systems. Kamanam,
kamanam,
the most desirable.
The most desirable.
Tamalavarnam,
tamalavarnam,
bluish like the tamal tree.
Bluish like the tamal tree.
Ravikara,
ravikara,
sun rays.
Sun rays.
Goda,
goda,
golden color.
Golden color.
Varambaram,
varambaram,
glittering dress.
Glittering dress.
Dadhane.
Dadhane.
One who wears.
One who wears.
Vapu.
Vapu.
Body.
Body.
Alakkukula avrita.
Alakkukula avrita.
Covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp.
Covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp.
Anana abjam.
Anana abjam.
Face like a lotus.
Face like lotus.
Vijaya sake.
Vijaya sake.
Unto the friend of Arjuna.
Unto the friend of Arjuna.
Ratiyastu.
Ratiyastu.
May attraction be reposed upon him.
May attraction be reposed upon him.
May.
May.
My. Anavadya.
Anavadya.
Without desire for fruitive results.
Without desire for fruitive results.
So, Yanak, you have English or Estonian there? It's Estonian?
Yes.
He does?
Yes.
Okay.
So, excuse me. In that case, should I...
not to read the proper, but you can...
Just a verse.
Yeah.
Just a verse.
No, he can read
Translation.
Translation and all is in Estonian, so he can read on his own.
He can read on his own, that's
but
right.
When he lectures, then you can translate.
That's right. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna here is described as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Dev, on his bed of arrows, after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijaya Sakhe, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any one of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Vrajadam. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal rasa, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Om Agyanatimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. One point which is a very profound point. And that is that one who has Krishna as his friend becomes the conqueror. In this world, everyone wants to be a conqueror. But we see that sometimes people are conquerors and sometimes, mostly they are defeated in this material world.
Vahel me näeme, et inimesed on vallutajad, aga suuremas osa ajast Mi dica di valuta te stessa.
So, the insider's secret is, if you want to always be a conqueror, you simply have to surrender to Krishna, as Arjuna did. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Wherever there is Krishna, the supreme, the master of all mystics. And wherever there is Arjuna, the topmost of all archers, well, there will certainly be victory, opulence,
küllus,
extraordinary power,
erakordne jõud,
and morality.
Ja moraalsus.
So, these qualities which are very much desired by the materialists,
seega need omadusi ihkavad väga materialistid,
can easily be realized by the transcendentalists.
Et transcendentalistid võivad neid väga hästi tunnetada.
But the problem is, nobody knows how to become a transcendentalist.
Aga probleem on selles, et keegi ei tea, kuidas saada transcendentaalseks.
People are simply running after a sense gratification.
Inimesed jooksevad lihtsalt meelte naudingut järele.
Eating, sleeping, mating and defending.
Söömine, magamine, paritumine ja kaitsmine.
They don't realize how to achieve the spiritual perfection.
Nad ei mõista, kuidas saavutada vaimset täiuslikkust.
They are caught up in animalistic activities.
Nad on kinni loomalikes tegevustes.
And therefore they are not realizing who they really are.
Ja seega nad ei tea, kes nad tegelikult on.
They are completely conquered by the material nature.
Materiaalne loodus on nad täielikult vallutanud.
In the forms of birth, death, old age and disease.
Sünni, surma, vanaduse ja haiguste näol.
They try to become great heroes in this world.
Nad tahavad saada suurteks kangelaseks selles maailmas.
As Napoleons or Churchills or Washingtons. But they are defeated by the stringent laws of this material nature. They are smashed, repeatedly smashed. They build their big, big sand castles. Empires.
Imperiume,
college degrees,
ülikooligraade,
reputations,
reputatsioone,
fortunes,
varandusi,
families,
perekondi,
nations,
rahvusi,
etc.
Ja nii edasi.
But as soon as the tide comes in, the castle of sand is washed to the sea.
Aga nii kui laine tuleb, siis liivalossi lihtsalt uhutakse merre.
It is simply finished.
See on lihtsalt.
They are very proud that we have this nation.
Ma olen väga uhke, et meil on selline rahvus.
But by the force of time, that nation is wiped out.
Aga aja jõul see rahvus lihtsalt pühitakse minema.
Completely wiped off the face of the map.
Yes. Täiesti pühitakse kaardilt minema.
But in the middle, one nation is fighting with another nation. This is our territory. What are you doing here?
Ja siis üks rahvus võitleb teise rahvusega, ütleb, et see on meie territoorium, mis te siin teete?
But both of those nations will be finished by the stringent laws of nature. They will be defeated.
Aga materiaalse looduse peenete seaduste kohaselt kõik need rahvus hävitatakse.
In due course of time, you will not even be able to find the names of those nations anywhere in a history book.
Ja aja jooksul te ei leia mitte kusagi, mitte üheski raamatus, mitte mingit märget nende rahvuste kohta.
They will become totally lost.
Ja täiesti kaovad.
So why should we struggle so hard in this material world?
Miks me peaksime nii palju rabelema selles materiaalses maailmas?
To be successful.
Et olla edukas.
We should simply focus the main portion of our energy towards awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness within the heart.
Me peame rakendama suurem osa oma energiast selleks, et äratada.
That automatically puts us in the most advantageous position.
Selleks, et äratada armastus Krishna vastu ja see paneb meid väga õigesse positsiooni.
Just as Arjuna was the conqueror, so we will also be the conqueror.
Ja kui Arjuna oli vallutaja, nii ka meie oleme vallutajad.
We see here how Bhishma Dev is taking full advantage of the presence of Krishna.
Me näeme siin, kuidas Bhishmadev kasutab ära täielikult Krishna kohalolekut.
To absorb himself in Krishna consciousness.
Et süveneda Krishna teadusesse.
Before leaving his body.
Enne oma kehast lahkumist.
But as we graphically experienced yesterday.
Aga nagu me piltlikult kogesime eile.
We don't know when we will leave the body.
Me ei tea, kunas me võime keha jätta.
I may leave the body this morning. I don't know.
Ma võin jätta oma keha täna hommikul, ma ei tea.
So I must be prepared.
Seega ma pean olema valmis.
Must always be prepared to leave the body.
Ma pean olema alati valmis jätma keha.
I may think, well, it's not possible I could die, I'm so young.
Ma võin mõelda, et ei ole võimalik, ma olen nii noor, ma ei saa surra.
I'm so healthy.
Ma olen nii terve.
I'm making good grades at school.
Ma olen head hinded koolis.
Certainly I am immortal.
Kindlasti ma olen surematu.
But nothing could be further from the truth.
Aga mitte miski ei ole kaugemalt tõest.
You know how many college students die every year?
Teate, kui palju ülikooli õpilisi sureb iga?
There is statistic, yeah.
See on statistika selle kohta.
Every year even so many college students are dying.
Isegi ülikooli õpilased iga aasta surevad.
So one should not think that I'm a college student, therefore I'm immune to the law of birth, death, old age and disease.
Et inimene ei peaks mõtlema, et on ülikooli õpilane, seega ta on sünni, surma, vanaduse ja haigustes kaitstud.
One has to become very, very, very serious about the process of spiritual enlightenment.
Inimene peab väga, väga, väga tõsiselt võtma vaimse eneseteadustamise protsessi.
That perfection of spiritual enlightenment is rarely, rarely achieved.
See vaimne täiuslikkus on väga, väga harva saavutatud.
Some people think, well, it must be very common because there's so many nice people in the world.
Mõni võib mõelda, et see on väga tavaline asi, sellepärast, et maailmas on nii palju toredad inimesi.
They make a mistake between, they confuse spiritual enlightenment with goodness.
Nad ajavad segi vaimse eneseteadustamise headusega.
Just because somebody is a good person, they're kind, they're generous, they're friendly, doesn't mean they're spiritually enlightened.
Et kui inimene on näiteks tore, lahke, kena, see ei tähenda, et nad on vaimselt ennast teadustanud.
There's a difference between sattvagun and shuddha-sattva.
See on erinevus sattvaguna ja shuddha-sattva vahel.
The material mode of goodness and pure goodness, there's a difference.
Et materiaalne voorus ja vaimne voorus, seal on vahe.
There are so many good people, that's a fact.
See on tõesti palju, on olemas tõesti palju häid inimesi, see on fakt.
When we go here and there throughout the world, we encounter so many people who are nice and friendly and helpful.
Et me oleme kohanud väga palju inimesi, kes on toredad ja lahked.
Of course, there's the crude and rude ones also. They're everywhere also.
Samas muidugi on ka väga ebaviisakad ja koledad inimesed.
So are the nice people, are they spiritually enlightened because they're nice?
Aga kas need, kes on toredad inimesed, kas nad on siin ennast vaimselt teadustanud, kui nad on toredad?
Not necessarily.
Mitte ilmtingimata.
Because there's a difference between goodness and pure goodness.
See on erinevus vooruse ja puhta vooruse vahel.
The fact is, if there was many people on this planet who would achieve spiritual perfection, we wouldn't see all the problems of terrorism, crime, etc. running rampant all over the face of this planet.
Et kui nii paljud inimesed oleks ennast teadustanud, siis me ei näeks sellised probleeme nagu terrorism ja kuritegevus.
At the present time in the United States of America,
et praegu saan Ameerika Ühendriikides,
there's practically a shooting every day in a school. It's getting so bad over there.
On peab iga päev koolides tulistamine.
So, it's obvious that there's not enough spiritually enlightened people on this planet.
See tähendab seda, et ei ole piisavalt palju ennast teadustanud inimesi sellel planeedil.
It's very rare to achieve such a position.
See on väga, väga harv juhus, et
Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mang veditatvataha. Out of thousands among men,
tuhandetest inimestest,
one may endeavor for perfection.
Üks võib püüelda täiuslikkuse poole.
And of those who've achieved perfection,
ja need, kes saavutavad täiuslikkuse,
hardly even one knows me in truth.
Vaevalt üks teab tõde.
So to actually become a spiritually enlightened being, a Krishna conscious person.
What? Sorry.
To actually become a spiritually enlightened being.
selleks, et tegelikult saada puhtaks vaimseks
a Krishna conscious person
Krishna teaduses olevaks inimeseks
is a very, very, very rare position.
On väga, väga, väga eriline positsioon ja harv positsioon.
If you find yourself in a situation
leiate enda situatsioonis
where you have been blessed with the knowledge as to what is the science of Krishna consciousness.
Kus teile on õnnistunud teadmisega, et mis asi on Krishna teadus.
And you become inspired to take up the practice of Krishna consciousness.
Ja te olete inspireeritud, et hakkate tegelema selle praktikaga.
And you should consider that you have achieved the greatest good fortune that can be achieved in millions of lifetimes.
Te peate arvestama, et te olete saanud kõige suurema õnnistuse, mida on üldse võimalik saada miljonite elude jooksul.
Therefore, you should take Krishna consciousness with great determination.
Seega te peaksite võtma Krishna teadvust väga suure kindlustuse.
Great enthusiasm.
Väga suure entusiasmiga.
And with great patience also.
Ja väga suure kannatusega samuti.
Because it takes time to fully awaken the dormant Krishna consciousness.
See võtab aega, et taastada tegelik Krishna teadvus.
So we can ask now if there's any questions.
Me küsida, kas on küsimusi. Yes, I have a question. How to become very determined?
Yeah.
Ja mul on küsimus, et kuidas... Yeah. Okay, no more translation needed.
This is a very nice question. I appreciate this question very much. How to become very determined? Well, in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice example of determination. There was one sparrow whose eggs were stolen by the ocean. And she became so determined to get her eggs back. She asked for the ocean to return the eggs. The ocean flatly refused. No way, I'm not giving the eggs back. So the sparrow was determined, no, I must get my eggs back. So she ran down to the beach, the ocean. She took some drops of ocean water in her beak and she ran back to the land and deposited that water on the land. So in this way, the little bird was determined that I will dry up this entire ocean and get my eggs back. Everyone was laughing, oh, this foolish little bird, you know, she'll drop dead from exhaustion before she even makes even a slight dent in the vast, you know, vast, drying up the vast ocean. So they were all making fun, but they failed to know that she has a big brother whose name is Garuda. And Garuda happens to be the carrier of Lord Vishnu, which means he is endowed with all mystic powers. So as soon as Garuda heard, my little sister is being tortured by the ocean and everyone's laughing at her, making fun of her attempts to recover her eggs, he became very, very angry. He came swooping in. And he told that ocean, you return those eggs right now or I'm going to completely dry you up by mystic power. The ocean immediately, yes, yes, I'm sorry, take the eggs. Became very fearful because Garuda is very powerful. He's very powerful. So in this way, you have to be so determined that I will become Krishna conscious. No matter, I will give every bit of my determination, my consciousness from now for all of eternity for becoming Krishna conscious. Whether I'm successful or whether I'm not successful, that doesn't matter. I will try to become Krishna conscious. You see. Actually, the mood is, I'm sure I will become Krishna conscious, even though it may seem impossible, because there's so much dirt in the heart, so many distractions of the material world. The sparrow was actually sure she would do it, even though it was seemingly impossible. So even though it may be seemingly impossible that you could become fixed in Krishna consciousness, you should be so determined, I'm going to somehow or another do it. I mean, every day I'm going to, you know, take those drops of water out of the ocean and put them on the dry land And that means you every day I'm going to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. At least 16 rounds a day of putting the drops of water from the ocean onto the limb, putting my consciousness away from Maya, which is the ocean, and putting it into Krishna, which is the dry land, you see. I'm going to keep pulling my Krishna, my consciousness away from the material nature, and keep bringing it back to Krishna. Yato yato nishchalati manaschan chalamastaram tatas tato dayam yaitad atmanyeva vasangnayam. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So you just have to have this do or die determination. You know, I'm going to try until my last dying breath to become a pure devotee and to spread this movement. And, you know, the results are up to Krishna, but from my side, you know, I'm going to try this until I drop dead. You know, I'm going to become a pure devotee or die trying, one of the two. I'm determined. Nothing's going to stop me. It's more important than anything else. Other things I can do. My spiritual master has instructed me to go to college, so I will continue my studies, continue my worldly activities on two tracks. I have my worldly activities and my spiritual activities. But of the two tracks, the spiritual track is eternal. The material track is temporary. It eventually becomes a monorail train. You see? So, but for now, you have two tracks. So you do two tracks very nicely to keep a good balance. But you have to always remember the two tracks. The spiritual track is more important. That's why we recommend all of our students, first thing, get up and chant your rounds and then hit the books. And then do your homework. Go to bed early and get up very early, 16 rounds before sunrise, and then you can study with great power of concentration. You become the most fluent Spanish-speaking person in all of Estonia, you see. Su español es, you have el mejor español, the best Spanish. El mejor español, the best Spanish of anyone. By putting Krishna first, then everything else will follow automatically. You see? Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna is fluent in all the languages, actually. Krishna knows Spanish perfectly. He is perfect in every language. He's multilingual. So Krishna, as the super soul, can help you understand Spanish. He knows it expertly. He knows every language expertly. English, Sanskrit, German, French, Estonian. He's the source of all the languages, actually. He understands. He even knows the languages of the birds and the alligators. I mean, Krishna, he knows everyone's language. He knows what everybody is saying in every language. So he can help you in your studies easily to become super fluent in Espanol. Just become determined to become the pure devotee of Krishna, and then everything else will follow automatically. So, are there any questions?
I was just thinking, isn't it that we are so determined to get some material knowledge? So if we become that much even determined, which is rarely achieved, Krishna consciousness.
That's right. If somebody can be as serious about Krishna consciousness, as determined about Krishna consciousness are as they are for earning their degree, you see, then they will advance like anything on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. That's a thing.
So the question would be that means that there is no lack of determination within us. It's just that what we want to achieve.
Yes, college students had to be determined even to get into college in most cases. They had to have some academic determination, the quality of academic determination to even get into college to begin with. So one, and if one is, you know, so take that the power of determination that you already have that you're using academically and offer to Krishna. That's stated in Bhagavad Gita. Yat kadoshi yat ashnasi, whatever you do, do it for me. And so you take your power of determination and offer to Krishna. More questions? Any more questions? Yes.
Yesterday I mentioned that one must have the in the field that he is in desperate need of rectification. So
what is it?
He's a person who is in need of desperate rectification.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So what is the next step if one feels like this?
The next step is then is called rectification. How do you, if you realize that actually, you know, I thought I was really advanced, but I realized I was just a puffed up, you know, neophyte. Here I was thinking I was an advanced devotee, but now I realized that actually I was simply a puffed up neophyte who thought they were very advanced. So now that I've realized that how much I really need to be rectified, then how can I move to the next stage of actually being rectified? And that's actually praying for rectification. Always understanding that I am contaminated, I am full of all my... I mean, just look at the Sam Gopinath by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You see, and then you get an idea of what is the proper mood. That's not just a nice song that we sing. That's how internally we should be meditating. You see, Gopinath, I'm a materialistic rascal, always... This is, you know, how we should pray. I'm a materialistic rascal, always full of lust, I have no qualities. This is a type of prayer that should be part of our daily lives. This sort of prayer. It's not just an academic thing. Bhaktivinoda is showing us, does he need those prayers for himself? No, we need those prayers. This mood is called vipalamba. There's two types of vipalamba. One is being separated from Krishna, and the other is being separated from devotional service, which is not different from Krishna. This mood of wanting to have pure bhakti, but not having it, and hankering for it, you see, that is a very, very favorable mood to be in. Because in that mood, if a senior devotee points out a discrepancy, instead of trying to defend yourself, you immediately think, how fortunate I am. A discrepancy that I didn't even realize I had has now been exposed, and I'm blessed. You see? That's why the mood of always feeling oneself most fallen, most in need of rectification, most wretched, most, you know, degraded. These are very, very nice moods to have. So, what is the evidence of what I'm saying? What is the evidence? There's many evidences. One evidence is, the more advanced a devotee becomes, the more he feels that he's fallen. That's one evidence. The Uttama Adhikari, who's on the highest level of perfection, as described in Srila Prabhupada's books, he feels that he is completely degraded and everybody else is higher than him. He actually feels that I'm a demon and everybody else in the entire existence, throughout the totality of existence, every other jiva is a pure devotee and I'm the most fallen, wretched snake. That's what an Uttama Adhikari actually feels about himself. Genuine feeling. He actually feels that way. So this is, the more that we can develop feelings, not that we should artificially go around advertising, oh, Prabhus, I'm a demon and you're all pure devotees. You know, then it's obvious what you're doing. You're trying to advertise that you're an Uttama Adhikari now. You see. No, it's not a matter of advertisement. It's a matter of what you feel inside your heart. And the more you can feel that you're fallen, that you were lowly, that you were then your advancement, your advance. A good example is our beloved God brother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami, who by from anyone's calculation was a very, very advanced devotee. He's a guru. He had many disciples. He was a wonderful God brother. They call him the Jolly Swami. He was always fired up and full of life. Just to be around him. Even on his deathbed, his whole abdomen was swollen with fluids. It was horrible. His body was in a horrible condition. And the doctor came and was looking at it. And he said, he joked. He said, "It's a boy." Like he was pregnant. "It's a boy, doc." Everybody was laughing. Here he is on his deathbed. He was so jolly. He was so transcendental. But one thing I noted about him, he told the story of how Prabhupada encouraged him to be a brahmachari years ago when he got initiated in Los Angeles. Prabhupada encouraged him, "Oh, you're a brahmachari." So he took that as a blessing that Prabhupada was encouraging him to be a brahmachari. And then now 30 years later, he's back in L.A. telling the story on a video filming, He's saying, "Yeah, here I am, still struggling." So he's admitting that, yes, I'm still brahmachari. I'm sannyasi. It means brahmachari. But I'm struggling. It's not that I'm, home free yet. I'm still fighting it out with the modes of nature. So here he was admitting to us, here he is such a senior advanced devotee, but he's admitting that actually I'm still struggling with, being a brahmachari, keeping my mind properly fixed. I'm struggling to do it. It's a struggle. So you may say, "Well, that doesn't sound very good to me. I mean, my God, at 30 years I'm still going to be struggling. I think I should just give it up and go back to mom, Sounds like too much. 30 years later I'll still be struggling? Horrible. A neophyte may think that would be horrible if after 30 years of being a devotee I'd still be struggling. But that one doesn't understand if one is thinking that way. One doesn't properly understand. The point is, the struggle is not a bad thing. As I oftentimes say, one has to simply embrace the struggle. You see? It's actually an exciting adventure. It's like someone struggles to conquer Mount Everest, to climb Mount Everest. That's not an easy thing. It's a struggle. But if one takes a struggle in the proper mood, it's exciting. It's enlivening. So the struggle to conquer over the demoniac nature, which is within the heart, is not discouraging. It's actually a very enlivening thing. It's an enlivening adventure. So to realize that one is in need of rectification, that one indeed does have a heart which is full of material desires, subtle and gross. Or if they're not gross, then one has to look at the subtle ones. Those are harder to find. Let's say one has become virtually free of gross material desires. Then you have to look after the subtle ones. Those are much harder to spot. Desire for, prestige, for recognition. These things are more tricky. They're trickier to find. So anyway, the stage after recognizing you need rectification is say, okay, what is the practical program now? How to become rectified? Lord Chaitanya became very happy to hear that what a rascal he was. His Guru Maharaj chastised him. That you are simply a fool. You're not qualified to study Vedanta. You see. That he became angry. "Oh, Guru Maharaj, doesn't he know I'm God?" Mm-hmm. He said that I'm a fool, that rascal. We chastise him. You see. No. Guru Maharaj told them, "You are a fool. You're not qualified to study Vedanta. You just better chant Hare Krishna." So if Lord Chaitanya can be told that, you know, you're simply a fool, then what is our position? We're fools. Stupid fools, actually. That is our position. Stupid fools. So we have to actually feel that I'm a stupid fool. If we're proudly thinking, no, I'm very advanced in knowledge. I'm a great transcendentalist. I'm well respected in the temple. You know, my authorities always glorify me. They say my service is first class, etc., etc., etc. That's wonderful. We want devotees like that, whose service is first class and always appreciated. But we want those devotees to stay also. To 30 years later, they're still going on doing first class service, you see. That's why we have to teach you these principles. Because many, many devotees were doing first class service that was very much appreciated by Prabhupada. And where are they now? They're gone. You see. They're recognized, they were very happy to be recognized for being great spiritualists. That enthused them. But they were too much attached to that recognition. And then when the recognition waned, or when they got tired of the recognition, which is simply another form of sense gratification, then they left. They went back to sex life, intoxication, etc. So we have to go beyond that level of recognition, wanting recognition. Our position is we simply want to give all recognition to Krishna. We want to give all recognition to our spiritual master. That's the actual mood of the disciple. He doesn't take any credit for himself. Prabhupada invariably would never accept credit for what he had achieved, the wonderful thing he had achieved. The greatest miracle in the history of the world was the spreading of his movement all over the world. Prabhupada never took any credit for that, for the greatest miracle in history. He never took credit. He said, if there's any credit at all, it is simply that I obeyed my spiritual master. I was obedient to my spiritual master. That was the only credit he would ever take. So that mood we have to have as disciples. We have to learn from our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, what is the proper spirit. Because as soon as we take credit, I mean, I've seen in these 35 years, I've seen devotees who were so advanced and so recognized and so appreciated, who gave such fantastic classes, who were so talented, they had everything going, and now they're gone. So that's why it's important to, these points that we're explaining are very important for one, in the long run, they are very, very important for one. One can always feel oneself to be very meek, very lowly, and very fallen. You see, unless one feels that one is lower than the straw in the street, and is thus ready to offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for oneself, he or she will not be able to go on chanting Hare Krishna for the whole lifetime. They will lose the taste after some time. That's why it's very important that we develop this humility of feeling I'm abominable, I'm wretched. And I require the mercy of Guru and Krishna to save me from my abominable position. As Prabhupada told us in Boston, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. Just to consider what Prabhupada thought about himself. Prabhupada felt, I'm on the verge of falling down right now. Can you imagine that Prabhupada would feel like that? I'm on the verge of falling down. Please save me from falling down, Krishna. That's the mood that Prabhupada had. I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down. That means he feels that if he doesn't pray to Krishna, then he will fall down. So this is the mood of someone who becomes very, very advanced in Krishna consciousness and who will truly never, ever fall down. When Godbrother said, "Oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're such a nice devotee," I said, "Prabhu, nice is not good enough. I have to become perfect." Being a well-respected man or woman around ISKCON is very good, but it's not the perfection. Not the perfection. Perfection is Tanada Pisa Nichena Tarora Pisa Hishnana. That is the perfection. And that is not an easy perfection to achieve. That's not easy. We have been proud and puffed up for thousands and millions of lifetimes. So to actually develop genuine, pure humility is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. One has to understand that I must take this as I must embrace this struggle to conquer the false pride with the utmost seriousness, the utmost determination, and with patience. Because it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. I have to be patient. Any other questions? Does that answer your question? Yes. Any other questions?
She's not questioning if I can make a point. I'd like to do that regarding the same thing. Right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I was just thinking that one is always thinking, even when we come think about rectification, unless we are seeing that. If I'm hearing always my glorification, oh, I'm doing so well and all that, then it's like a balloon. Balloon is when you blow all the time, it puffs up. But when one time something happened wrong, and I've been chastised, and the whole balloon puffs up.
Yes, that's a nice analogy. I like that. I'm getting puffed up, like Dr. Frog, you know. The more I hear how great I am, I say, yes, you know, I'm trying to be humble, but yeah, you're actually right.
Then it becomes very difficult, even if it's for something, you know, that's what happened, I think, with most of the great personalities in our world.
Well, I know it. Probably, I know Jai Pataka Maharaj told when he was a young brahmachari that Prabhupada would glorify disciples sometimes, but not to their face. Because every day he had been told that whenever there's a clash, you should always ask a question. He was told that. So he made a point of always coming up with a question for every class. So those days, devotees were working jobs to support the center in Montreal. So he would go to work one day instead of during the class. And he wasn't there to ask any questions. And then Prabhupada noticed he wasn't there, and he said, "Oh yes, that Jai Pataka, he asked very nice questions." So Prabhupada didn't, Jai Pataka Maharaj made the point, he didn't say that in his presence. When he was absent, he said that. So that's one thing that Prabhupada would do to protect his disciples from getting puffed up, is he would glorify them when they were not there to the other devotees. Because if one is too much glorified, you know, on one's face, it can have a bad effect. In fact, it is said one's flatterer is one's worst enemy.
Yeah.
And if someone is your chastiser, you should invite them to move in with you.
Also that, you know, if someone is doing sankirtana very nicely, book distribution. I know it is encouraging, like when we announce all these things, and that happened during Srila Prabhupada. I don't know how much they were doing announcement, but as you always mentioned, there was a devotee, I don't know what was his name, I don't remember even, and he raised he wanted the recognition for Srila Prabhupada that what pleases you most.
Yeah.
So one may think that they are doing very good sankirtan, but when they are asked to do something else, they don't like it and they don't do it with great pleasure. The other services, they think, oh, I'm great because I'm doing so many book distribution. So that's an artha there.
Yeah.
And that glorification also hurts in the long run when one is not able to do the sankirtan.
Yeah, there's a danger then.
Yeah.
One who's actually a pure devotee, he can do anything with great relish.
Because
any service.
Sankirtan is a joyful book distribution. Someone may do lesser when they go older, but it won't be the same, but it becomes, what is it called? It will become like that I'm now, I'm low person, I'm not the same person I was doing, and so my false ego is like becomes hurt.
Okay. All right.
But that also.
Any question?
I was just thinking about that. That also can become.
Yes. Yeah, the one Prabhupada gave all. He was the greatest sankirtan devotee. He gave all credit to his guru Maharaj. That's the move. One is always giving all credit to one's spiritual master. Then one is safe. But if one takes the credit, starts taking the credit, you know, even subtly within your heart, then there's danger.
So can we save them from not by not glorifying so much?
No, that doesn't necessarily help. Better to educate people how to give all credit to the predecessor acharyas. Mm-hmm. Whether you glorify or not glorify, people are puffed up in this world. Mm-hmm. We should actually. It's our duty to glorify the devotees. That's our duty. But we, at the same time, we have to do it in such a way that they don't become. Bad. Krishna says, if you simply glorify me, you're not my devotee. But if you glorify my devotees, then you're my devotee.
But glorifying, it also said that the glorification is the enemy. So how to balance it then?
Prabhupada said, yes, that is the lemon. One time he was asked, he said, yes, that is the lemon. He chuckled. Because it's said that you shouldn't worship the spiritual master in front of the deities. But it's also said when the spiritual master comes, you can stop the deity worship and worship him. Both things are stated. So Prabhupada said, yes, that is the dilemma. He chuckled. So yeah, there's a dilemma there. That actually we're duty-bound to worship the devotees, but then devotees may also be, if they're too much glorified, they may be. It's a bit of a dilemma. But so therefore, we have to give proper education. That's the real thing. We have to educate properly in our classes how to understand the proper mood. Because actually, it's very nice to glorify the devotees. It encourages others when they see that someone is appreciated for their nice heroic activities of pushing toward the movement. We just have to learn how to take it. Everyone has to be trained how to take the glorification in the proper way. That's the main thing. Prabhupada wants us to become glorious, glorifiable. He said, you're always saying all glories to Prabhupada. Why don't you become glorious? You see, the more the devotees become glorious, then their spiritual master is automatically glorified. When the fruit of the tree becomes glorious, then the tree becomes more glorified. So we just basically have to have the proper understanding. we have to be, there has to be proper training how to cultivate the mood of pure bhakti, haitaki bhakti, within the heart. That training has to be there. So that, and if that training is there, then everything will be very auspicious. When devotees are do wonderful service and they're naturally appreciated by the other devotees, then they'll take that appreciation in the proper way, that actually they become more advanced in Krishna consciousness by the way they accept that appreciation. Sometimes we are glorified. So, just like the loving exchanges, giving gifts, receiving gifts, revealing one's mind, hearing others reveal their mind, distributing prasadam to someone, accepting prasadam. So accepting gifts is one of the six loving exchanges, and that includes the subtle gift of glorification. That is a subtle gift. To glorify someone is a subtle gift, you see. So giving glorification and also receiving it in the proper way, these are loving exchanges. So it's to glorify, to give someone that gift of being glorified is not wrong. It's a loving exchange. But one has to learn how to properly receive it.
I don't know what you mean by glorification there. Not saying someone,
you have just read a Dhamma very nicely. That is glorification. You see? You've done very, very nice, first class job of dressing Sri Sri Radha Dhamma. We very much appreciate how much bhakti you have put. Everyone agree with me? Yes, they are agreeing. Everyone is appreciating how nicely you have dressed Sri Sri Radha Dhamma. You see? We are glorifying your great bhakti. It could be false glorification. Maybe we want to get something out of you, you know. Well, we want to, because we don't want to do the dressing. We want to make sure that she keeps doing it. So we'll glorify her just so she keeps doing the service, because we don't want to do the service. That would be false. Yes, that would be false glorification. It'd be tinged with falsehood.
It could be false glorification in the sense also that it's according to one's vision one is glorifying, but someone who will be more senior and you can see the fault in that too.
The person who is, you're saying the person who is qualified to see the fault is qualified to glorify?
No. That way you can say that, because a neophyte may be not even seeing the proper vision.
Yeah. Someone is saying, "Oh, the prasadam is so nice," but yet there was too much turmeric, not enough cumin.
And the chapati was hard.
Because it had a lot of sour cream in it. They thought, "Yeah, it's a great sabji," but they didn't realize it was actually 10th class, like that.
Yeah. And then they can have, but the person who is more knowledgeable may be saying that the chapati is hard, it's not very nice, or something, and the dressing is not very
nice.
So how can we...
That's a good point. So the cook may be, everybody's coming, and it was great, because a lot of sour cream.
Yeah, my guru said,
there's a lot of butter on the chapatis, even though they were, they were hard like rocks, but they had a lot of butter on them, so they're great chapatis. But then a senior devotee comes in and says, "What is this nonsense, The cook thinks, everybody's glorifying me. This senior devotee must not be so senior after all, because, they're correcting me for my chapatis, they're correcting me for my sabji, but don't they realize how much everybody likes my cooking? Yeah, that could be happening also. Same thing for the deity worship also, yes.
For everything,
absolutely. Any other questions?
Okay. We can understand what is real glorification and what is not.
Well, I can tell you right now that the disciple has to take it, and whatever comes from the spiritual master is absolute. Because Krishna is using him as an instrument. When it comes to the spiritual master, the disciple has to accept this is absolute.
Even if it's hard to body, it's all absolute.
Even if it's hard to take. The spiritual master tells the... Whatever comes from the spiritual master, the disciple has to take it. It may make sense, it may not make sense, like it's, you know, it's a snake. Throw it down. Why are you throwing it down? It's a rope. Pick it up. Why did you pick it up? It's a snake. Throw it down.
Well, that is one question about the spiritual master.
Yeah.
What about, like you were saying, accepting gift and giving gift and taking gifts, and glorification is one of them. So if someone is glorifying me, the spiritual master is one thing. But taking the glorification from other devotees.
Yeah, so just like in gifts, sometimes someone will give you a sock that's the wrong size, for example.
So you just glorify it falsely?
I'm giving an example. Try to understand. If someone falsely or foolishly glorifies me, I don't have to accept them. Just like someone gives me, you know, some socks that are too small to even put on my foot, do I have to accept that gift? I can say, go back to the store and get the right size, you know. No, if someone is glorifying in a foolish or wrong way, you don't have to accept it. You can correct them. Okay? All right. So we'll stop here. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.